There was an ad on TV. Well, when we were still watching ads on TV. I mean, who has ever seen an ad on TV giving away your age? I mean, these days, if it's all Netflix, and we don't see ads anymore. When I grew up, there were ads on TV. There was this ad about, rather not say the product that was being delivered, there was a product being delivered to a very small town. And this delivery guy would go to all the different places in town to deliver more of this thing. And he would go to the station, and the station master accepted the product. And then he went to the police station, and the police commissioner, it was the same guy, like, and he accepted the product again. And then he went to the fire brigade, and it was the same guy sitting behind that desk, and he would get it again. And so that's what I feel like this morning, because I'm the only one standing up front here. We don't have other voices. So I'm your station master, the police commissioner, and the fire brigade. Cool. Don't record that piece, because what they were delivering is questionable. Cool. So, title of my preach this morning, Fruitful Trees and Clean Vessels, A Journey to Godly Character. So, those of you who were in the prayer meeting this morning, Linda? Hello, Linda. Yes, you can't raise your hand. You are with child. I see you raising your elbow. Linda, you prayed this morning, and you know, your prayer is actually very spot on for what I'm sharing today. Fruitful trees and clean vessels, you know, our journey to godly character. So have you seen the trees in an orchard? Pretty sure you have. As you pass, you go to Cape Town, there's a lot of orchards and fruit trees on the way to Cape Town. So they're all shaped in a very particular way. The tree branches are bent so that they can grow away from each other. There are lots of technical terms that I had in my first draft. I just dropped all of that, shaved it down. Otherwise, we'll still be here tomorrow, and then you can actually go and plant an orchard. I was so specific. You would be an expert. Weights are tied to some of the branches, right, to kind of bend them down as they grow. For other branches, strings are tied between the branches and pegs that are stuck in the ground to also bend the tree into the shape that it needs to be. Other branches are simply cut off. They are not necessary. They are not growing as they need to grow, and off they go. So, over time, and with much effort, these trees are bent into a shape that allows them to grow healthy and to bear much fruit. Can you see where this metaphor is going? So the two techniques that are applied to fruit trees in an orchard is pruning. I'm sure you've heard the word pruning. That is the cutting off and the trimming of the branches. And training. Yes, it is the official word for what does happen to trees. And that is the process of bending all the branches all the time so that they can get into the proper shape. Pruning and training. So just as pruning and training has value for fruit trees, pruning and training are also very biblical concepts for all of us as believers. It is crucial for our spiritual growth. Have you heard that you need to be pruned? Do you know that you need to be trained? John 15, verse 2. It's Jesus speaking. He says, "Every branch in me," that is Jesus, "that does not bear fruit, He," God the Father, "takes away," just cuts it off. "And every branch that does bear fruit," what happens to us? He prunes, just making sure the word is the same, depending on translation. He prunes us so that we may bear even more fruit. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. Who is that? Who brought us salvation? Jesus. So Jesus, the grace of God has appeared. He brings us salvation. And he also, what does he do? He trains us to renounce all ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives with godly character in this present age. So are we a fruit tree in an orchard? Are we pruned? Are we trained and bent into shape so that we can be more healthy and bear more fruit? But we must allow God to do those things in our lives. It's like some of the words came through this morning, unorchestrated, where Siska said, we must, you know, it's our choice where we position ourselves in this. It's our choice if we choose to submit. Mandy had the same picture earlier in the week already. You know, there is an urgency for us to choose our responsibility. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 24. Have you heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Well, so as spiritual trees in God's spiritual orchard, we bear spiritual fruit. And that is what we are being pruned for and trained for. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified their flesh and its passions and its desires. So there again we see the picture of training. It refers to exactly the same concepts as the verse we read in Titus. We are training, being trained to lay down our fleshly passions, our earthly desires, to be more like Jesus. This is the harvest that Jesus is after in us, a godly character. Jesus is constantly pruning and training our characters so that we can crucify. What does that mean? How do we crucify? We die to self. We turn our back on. Right, we walk away from, we kill our fleshly passions and desires. Paul says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ Jesus that lives in me. So Jesus wants us to bear an abundant harvest of godly character. An abundant harvest of love. Do we have an abundant harvest of love? Can everybody see our love? Is that something people say about you? Oh, that guy, so full of love. Joy. We know those people. They are always full of joy. No matter what happens, they have got a smile on their face. Peace, patience, kindness. Jesus wants an abundant harvest of godly character in us. Is it easy? No. It is hard. It takes a lifetime of Jesus cutting, pruning, bending, training us, and us choosing to yield, choosing to submit under Jesus in order to die to self and continually grow in godly character. Jesus called his disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you become. It's in Mark 1:17. You can go read it. Follow me and I will make you become. You are not yet, but follow me and I will get you there. It is a journey and a continuous process. As we follow Jesus, we are in this continuous process of pruning, training, bending, in which Jesus is making us become clean. He is making us become clean. Clean vessels. If you look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21, we read about clean vessels. So now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, and some for dishonorable use. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable. So you see the progression, you see the journey. We all start as dishonorable vessels. But we have the assurance in Jesus that if we are cleansing ourselves, we are moving to the honorable side of the scale. If anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, not pleasing to God, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy. As we move from dishonorable to honorable, we are being set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house. Other translations use master with a capital letter. The master. Useful to the master, to Jesus. Ready for every good work. Who does not want to be a useful tool in Jesus' hand? It's kind of a trick question, right? Because if you would have said yes, yeah, come talk to me afterwards. You know, putting you on the spot. You can't really say yes. So we do want to be useful tools in the hands of the master, right? We want to be useful to Jesus. We want to be holy. We want to be set apart. We want to be honorable. So we grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the godly character, as Jesus cleans our vessels, polishes us up, removes the dishonorable and the ungodly things from our lives. You know, he sees the stains and the spots in our vessel, and he starts polishing and polishing. It might take quite a long time to polish out some of those stains. But Jesus wants us clean. We, like we've said before, you know, we have a choice here. We can have two positions in this process. So we are either allowing Jesus or we are resisting Jesus. So just look at your own lives. Are there areas in which you know that you are allowing Jesus, or you have already allowed Jesus to work some things in your life, you know, for the better? You've already allowed Jesus to polish out some spots. I've shared it many times before. I used to be an extreme introvert. I really did not like people. I had no friends. What else? No, don't dish out all my dirt here. You've known me. We got together when I was still in that place. I didn't know the Lord when we got together. You were in sin. Because you got yoked with an unbeliever at that stage. You actually were a believer. Yes, we did. You did. You married me when I was a believer. I did give my heart to the Lord. He was gracious. So it was a process for me to stand here in front of you today. It's a process where currently my knees are not shaking. For the longest time, me preaching up here, my knees would shake. I promise you, you probably wouldn't see it. Spindly little legs. I've got a lot of room in my jeans. So you wouldn't notice it. My legs were shaking. There was a time, I am wearing dark colors. There was a time, and I've said it as well, so some of you who've been here for a while, you know, when I preach, I wear black. Why? Because if I raise my arms, you can't see the sweat stains. No jokes. True story. But years and years of God polishing, you know, and rubbing and cleaning got me to where I am today. Not in victory, but I'm a lot further along the road on this thing than I used to be. It hurt. It was super uncomfortable. I failed many times, fumbled my words, lost my place in my preaches. The stress. But Jesus. Talking about losing place. That was not in my notes at all, so I've totally lost my place. We can either be allowing or resisting Jesus. So that's the allowing part. Now you ask yourself, where am I resisting Jesus? You know, I'm pretty sure you know. The people in your life around you that know you well, they can point it out. Are you easy to lose your temper? Are you easy to lose your temper? It's not confession time in front of the church, but if you want to, just go ahead now and then. Now, you all keep Louise accountable. Every week, ask her, how is the temper of yours going? Rub, 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 polish, polish. So you know, we all know some of the areas in which we need to be polished. You know, short temper. Are you short with your words? Are you rude? What happens if people cut you off in traffic and you're late? Possibly doesn't happen as much here in Oudtshoorn, but when we used to stay in Cape Town, that happened a lot. You know, taxis all over, people driving like maniacs. So what comes out of you when you are squeezed? Is what comes out of you what it says outside on the tin? Well, on the tube. If it says Colgate, nice and fresh, but you are squeezed just a little bit, what comes out? Does it stink? Or is it really Colgate? You know? Hypocrisy. If we say one thing, but we do another thing, that's for a different message. I'm not talking about hypocrisy. So allowing this process is difficult, right? Who of you have allowed Jesus to clean you? I mean, just thinking back over your years of walking with Jesus, I mean, how many things have you, you know, who of you have left things behind that you no longer do because it's a sin, because it's not honoring to God? I'm hoping to see like every single hand again. If the Lord has not done anything in you, please come and speak to me afterwards. Let me pray for you. We are constantly being polished. I was polished from so many things. I've been saved 20 years, plus minus. And if I think what my life looked like and the stains and the things that the Lord has polished out, swearing, bad jokes, disrespect, this respect for authority. How we speak about those in authority, it's easy to criticize. But the Bible says, I have placed the authorities over you. So if you criticize my authority, you are criticizing me. Lots of polishing. It hurts. And it takes a lifetime. Even by the time that we lay down our head on this earth, and we go to Jesus, we would still have not been perfect. There was only ever one perfect, unblemished lamb. Jesus. Only ever one. So it takes a lifetime to cultivate a character of love. Joy, peace, kindness. So how does this work? You get into situations where you pop. How do you know you're not loving? When God sends a very unlovable person into your life. Right? Because you can say you're loving. But what does your action say when it gets tested? Self-control. Patience. I mean, I can say I'm a patient person. My wife would probably say it a little bit different. But I do try. I have lots of opportunity to practice that. Self-control. Self-control in any area. Are we self-controlled in what we say? Are we self-controlled in what we do? Are we self-controlled in how we spend our free time? Are we self-controlled in how much time we spend with Jesus? And we can easily lose self-control, right? Self-control is like the little, but there's a lont van a dynamietstokkie, a lont, a fuse, there we go. Self-control sometimes feels like a little fuse on a cracker, right? You know, there's a little spark of a situation in your life. And that fuse, you know, catches fire. And you hold it, and you hold it, and you hold it. There goes the self-control. And then, you know, you are tested on all kinds of other stuff. Swearing and wherever you are in your journey. Over time, you know, we get matured in our character through the circumstances. People in our lives, oh man, you know, God uses other vessels to clean other vessels. I mean, people press all our buttons, right? So, you know, personal testimony again, and some of you know, is when I was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, you know, that is a situation that tested a lot of godly character in me and my wife. And our family. You know, that tested us in joy. It was difficult to be joyous when you go through that journey. But the Lord teaches us that our joy should not come from circumstances. So when you fall flat on your face, when something changes in your circumstances, thank the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you have shown me that my anchor of joy is still in my circumstances and not in you. Because you never change. That is a safe place to anchor. Peace. Man, were we tried in peace. It was not very peaceful. I mean, maybe in the house it was very peaceful because daddy is sick. Everybody stay quiet. But in our hearts, it was far from peace. Storms, waves, onstuimiges en waters. It was tough. And we had to fight and contend for the peace of the Lord. Not peace in what we are going through in this earthly journey, because we didn't know at that stage what was going to happen. But peace that the Lord had the situation. And he knew. You know, we know somebody that knew what was going to happen. Patience, faithfulness. I mean, I can go list through the whole list probably. And we were probably being tested on all of those through a journey like that. So we struggle and we wrestle against our flesh in these circumstances. Right? We struggle and we wrestle against our defaults. And what is your knee-jerk reaction? Again, you know, a bad temper or swearing, bad language. You know, for some of us, that was, or that were our knee-jerk reactions when something happened. It was the easy thing to do. So we have to fight against the defaults in our life. And as we walk this journey, I promise you, church, it hurts more. And it gets more difficult. Because when you give your life to the Lord, and you're full of sin, it's easier to prune the outside little fruities and branches and thingies that don't look great. But as you walk this journey, you know, you have to start bending the bigger branches. That takes more time. It takes more effort. And it goes deeper into us, right? It's easy to stop swearing. It's another story to forgive somebody, you know, to forgive a parent for something they've done. It's difficult. It takes a long time. It's got great effects in our lives. But Jesus wants to polish out that stain as well. There is no stain that Jesus does not want to polish out if we allow him. So when a spot is revealed in you through whatever circumstance, right? If it's another person, if it's something that changes in your life, circumstance, you lose something, you lose money, you lose a business, something happens. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed when our spots are exposed. It is sometimes, you know, you feel shame and it sometimes hurts, but the heart's posture is thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you've shown me an area where I'm not yet reflecting you well. So we can go live in the mountains, away from everybody, you know, a reclusive lifestyle, away from all the effects and the things of this world. And then we can think we are amazingly loving. We are so patient. Man, we have got the joy down in our hearts, you know. Joy. We've just got it all. But how would you really know if it is never tested? We need people. We need these circumstances. And be joyful and thankful when it is shown, when it is highlighted to us. And then you ask Jesus to help you clean. Speak to a friend about it. Say, man, I thought it was so great, but this thing happened the other day. And actually, my reaction there was not very godly. Would you just stand with me? You know, can I just be accountable to you in this thing as I walk this journey? You know, would you just pray with me? Would you stand with me? And if you see it again, please come and tell me, because I want to know if I'm getting it right. You know, we need to want to be clean vessels. And again, who does not want to be a clean vessel? Trick question. We need to want to be clean. We must want to be free from all of those things. So here is a challenge for you, for all of you. Challenge. Ask Jesus to set you up. Ask him. Ask him to get you into situations. Send people that just presses all your buttons. Because you want to know. Don't hide it. Don't just sweep it under the carpet and think I'm fine. We want to know where we're getting it wrong. So that we can grow and so that we can reflect Jesus. Everywhere, in everything we do. Just a warning, it might take quite a few rounds of testing, polishing, retesting, polishing again. It's a process. These things don't pop out one wipe and it's gone. Some things take years to polish out. But it's worth it. Church, it's worth it to shine Jesus. It's worth it to reflect Jesus in everything we do. Proverbs says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. But the enemy multiplies kisses. But when people flatter you, I'm not saying they're their enemy. I mean, if you get a good compliment, great, take it. But, wounds from a friend can be trusted. If you have trusted people in your life and they tell you something, listen. Listen to them. They know you. They may see a spot in you that you are blind to. You don't know that you're always reacting in a certain way. You don't know that I always put my hand in my pocket when I preach. But now you do. And now forever, when I preach, you will notice my hand in my pocket. And you can keep me accountable. You say, Bernard, I actually just saw you did that thing again. Ah, okay. Yeah, sorry. Thanks. Thanks for keeping me accountable. When people say something, listen. Weigh it up. It might not be true. But if it's somebody you trust, somebody you know, listen. Or if it's somebody you don't know, but you feel they do have some kind of authority. You might not know me. But in a moment, I might have some wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And as we speak, I might feel something. Milani, that was here a few weeks ago, and she prophesied. She's in the office of a prophet in our church movement. Amazing, amazing, amazing. If she comes to you and she says, I have a word for you. I feel the Lord saying something about you. And that thing is hampering you from growing in an area where I, the Lord, want to grow you in. Will you receive that or will you take offense? The wounds from a friend can be trusted. We need to be open. We need to be vulnerable. We need to receive the input because this is how Jesus works in us through his body. We need to receive loving correction so that our own hard-to-see spots, can be polished out. I remember Very early in my Christian walk, I was just saved. So the Lord had a field day with polishing me. It was a lot of stuff. And I worked with a guy called Jonathan. Way back when. I probably since have lost contact with him. Maybe you've got contact with his wife. You're very good at keeping contact with people's wives. And then I get the updates from you. So Jonathan, he was a mature Christian. He was a great guy. And as I gave my heart to the Lord, I shared with him because I knew that he also knows Jesus. And I knew that he, you know, would be overjoyed with me coming to Christ. Well, not long after I shared with him that I had met Jesus, he pulled me aside one day at work. And he said, you know, I just want to quickly speak to you about something. I said, yeah, sure. Go ahead. He said, you know, those jokes that I hear you making, they're not godly. You know, some of your jokes have an edge to them that doesn't really shine Jesus. You know, it's like a little bit of a questionable joke. Could you mind your jokes? So after I'd worked through like years of trauma and offense. No jokes. But after I did probably work through a teeny tiny little bit of offense, I went to him and I said, you know what, Jonathan, thank you. Thank you for pointing this out to me. Otherwise, I might never have known. You know, people might be laughing at my jokes all the time. Everybody thinking, it's a little bit like 1 degree off to where we think you should be telling a joke, but they might all be too polite to tell me. And that's the other thing. Sometimes everybody sees your spot, but just nobody wants to tell you. Hurry, hand in my pocket again. You know, sometimes people see your spots and they don't want to tell you. But you know, that's like a double sin. If you see it and you don't say it, you know, maybe you're not doing the Lord's will. Maybe he's actually wanting you to say it. And if you're the person who has the spot and you never get to hear that you have the spot, you will be continuing in sin. You will be continuing to walk in something that doesn't shine Jesus. But here's a warning as well. Take care. Take great care when you share something with somebody, when you feel you have some feedback. Take great care. Take care that it's done in godly wisdom. Make sure that it's done in God's love for this person. Don't go to somebody and say that you laugh funny and I think that's crap and it's a sin. You know? Some things are personal preferences. You know, the way that guy laughs just grates me. Don't go and speak to him. It's not a sin. And it will not be done in godly love for that person. So look at, you know, godly wisdom, your godly love for the other person. And also God's timing. Timing is important. When another person is already down in the dumps, don't now go and tell them what they are doing wrong. Rather keep quiet. If you don't have those, you know, those that in your heart, don't say anything. then maybe the Lord isn't asking you to say something for that person in that moment. You know, people can be crushed by unkind, unloving, badly timed words and input. Don't crush people. Struggling to turn the page with my cold fingers. All right. Almost halfway through. Oh, I make that joke every week. Maybe that's something you can speak to me about. You know, Bernard, that joke of yours every week, almost halfway through. Maybe stop that. I'll be open to it. Okay. So a final picture of fruitful trees and clean vessels is the picture of Jesus and his church. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives. Yes. That is a true saying. So Christ loved the church and he gave himself for her. That's us. Each and every one of us. Christ loves us and he gave himself for us. Why? So that he might sanctify us, make us clean and holy. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Isn't that the exact same picture we've been speaking about? Where Jesus comes and he washes us clean. So that he might present the church, so that he might present us to himself. So Jesus is cleaning us to be his spotless, clean bride. So that he might present us to himself in splendor. Splendor, you know, shine, holy, clean, majestic. Without spot or wrinkle. He polishes out all the spots all the time. He smooths out all our wrinkles. Or any such thing. Anything that does not reflect Jesus. So that she, the church, us, might be holy. Clean vessels, holy, set apart for honorable use, so that she might be holy and without blemish. No blemishes, no cracks, no spots, no stains. And that is what Jesus comes to do. Fruitful trees and clean vessels. Jesus is very busy pruning us, training us, bending us, cleaning his vessels for honorable use, polishing out all our stains, and producing in us an abundant harvest of godly character, so that we could reflect Jesus. And be presented to Jesus one day as holy, clean,